Hey guys, I'm back. I'm excited to be back. I've been really busy lately with finishing up with my junior high school baseball season with the New London Bulldogs. We did fall short to Menasha 4-3. Okay, now for today's show, I'm going to talk about what has been happening in the sports world lately. It's been crazy. And what I've been missed, and what I even missed in the sports world lately. The show starts right now. The NFL today. I want to start talking about the best and worst NFL decisions made since the 2019 NFL draft. You know, the 2019 NFL draft is more than a month in a pass. The bulk of free agency is long over, and we're in the middle of OTA and minicamp season, where players largely practice in t-shirts and shorts. Naturally, then, this is a period of the off-season that the NFL fans can ignore, right? Well, not exactly. There has actually been quite a bit of action in the month since the NFL draft teams have made some big decisions that will affect the upcoming season and potentially beyond. The New York Jets firing general manager Mike Manicanigan is a prime example. If you've been focused on the NBA and NHL playoffs, or just haven't been paying attention to some of the recent NFL offseason moves, you're in luck. Here you'll get to look at some of the best and worst decisions made in the days since the 2019 draft. The best things after the 2019 draft was definitely the Buccaneers releasing Gerald McCoy. They added Dominican Sue. This is meant as a dig at Gerald McCoy, who is still a quality defensive tackle. However, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers' decision to cut him and add was a saving, if difficult, move. McCoy had 3 years remaining on his contract, and he was owed $13 million in 2019. Tampa then turned around and added Sue on a one-year $9.25 million deal. This gives the Buccaneers some short-term cap relief and flexibility a long-term while still keeping a standout tackle on the defensive line. Sue wasn't quite dominant this past offseason, and he was in his earlier career. But he was still a dangerous and disruptive player. He amassed 59 tackles, 4.5 sacks, 4 passes defended, while McCoy only had 1.5 sacks in 2 fewer games, but had 31 fewer tackles. Depending on the role defensive coordinator Todd Bowles envisions for Sue, his addition may be viewed as an upgrade. And if so, with Sue's cheaper price tag, this was a win-win swap for the Buccaneers. Another good thing was Texas add Jadel Adé. Houston Texans added former Los Angeles Chargers safety Jadel Adé in earlier May, and the 6-year veteran should provide a nice boost to the Texans' secondary. He started all 32 games for the Chargers over the last 2 seasons. He is a solid in coverage and is a tremendous tackler. In 2018, Adé produced 75 tackles, 3 passes defended, a sack, and an interception. While Adé will likely back up Justin Reed and Deshaun Gibson in base formation, he's a guy Houston can utilize in 3 safety sets or in a slot as a quality tackler. Adé can also play an extra defender in the box in a short yardage situation. Along with fellow Texans newcomer Gibson, Adé is a player the Texans can get excited about. I think both of those guys bring 2 meaningful additions to the term, cornerback Jonathan Joseph said. They bring attitude, bring toughness. They both lead by example. They show up work each and every day. Adé was one of the best, most versatile defenders still on the open market after the draft, and the Texans were smart to scoop him up. Now, this goes to the Oakland Raiders. Raiders add Richie Incognito, and this is a bad thing. The Oakland Raiders are hoping that the big influx of talent can lead to a quick turnaround in 2019. However, bringing in a former Pro Bowl guard, Richie Incognito, is an unnecessary risk. Unnecessary risk. Yes, Incognito can play, be a Pro Bowl level player when he is at his best. However, he comes with a long history of off-field issues, including a 2018 arrest for disorderly conduct and a criminal threat in the locker room. And he has a bunch of locker room drama. He's not the first polarizing player the Raiders have added this offseason either. One of the top Incognito's off-field issues, he's almost 36 and hasn't played in the NFL since 2017. While Oakland hasn't shielded away from signing other players since John Gruden's arrival, this isn't a type of move that looks to benefit a franchise building for the future. Now, I think this is good. The best would be Jets fire Mike Manigan. It's time for the Jets to move on from general manager Mike Manigan. After roughly 5 years with him in position, New York's position hasn't improved. Yes, Manigan lucked in landing Sam Darnold last offseason, but he was also responsible for drafting players like Christian Hackenberg, Devin Smith, Bryce Petty, Darren Lee, who was recently shipped off the sixth-round draft pick. It's time for Manigan to go. And one could argue he should have been ousted at the same time as head coach Todd Bowles was fired. However, the Jets allowed him to orchestrate one more draft before starting their search for an upgrade. Now, why would this be a bad thing? And this is a bad thing. Worst, Jets name Adam Gase, inter GM. Bill Belichick has made being both the head coach and the general manager work for the New England Patriots. It doesn't go favorably for many franchises, though. There's nothing to suggest that adding intern general manager Adam Gase, list of these titles, is going to work for the Jets. Gase, who went 23-25 as a head coach for the Miami Dolphins, has provided little at short collar. And this is exactly what is now in New York. While the Jets are still searching for a permanent GM, they will have to sign off on Gase's preferred choice, according to Manish of the New York Daily News. General managers don't like to answer to coaches. It's typically the other way around, and New York is already setting a stage for a power struggle that could potentially derail the 2019 season and future campaign. Gase insists he had no hand in the Mike McGannon's exit. However, that's hard to believe, folks. Since he's been given the chance to essentially handpick McGannon's replacement, what would make that replacement possibly believe he wouldn't be the next out the door if he and Gase began to disagree? I think that makes a lot of sense. They definitely did have some arguments, and that's probably what got the firing. This is assuming the Jets are able even to convince an executive to come on board with Gase, seemingly having final say. I mean, it makes sense. That was such a bad decision by the New York Jets. Purely. The best, Broncos give Chris Harris a pay bump. Even meeting at age 30, cornerback Chris Harris is one of the most consistent and productive defenders on the Denver Broncos roster. Though he played just 12 games in 2018, he still managed to rack up 49 tackles, 10 passes defended. He also had 3 interceptions and a touchdown. Harris was also named the Pro Bowler in 2 of the last 3 seasons. By giving Harris this contract, that'll pay him to $12.05 million in 2019. The Broncos ensure he'll be happy for the least coming season. They also ensure that he'll have a shot at retaining him following the 2019 season. Harris previously sat out in OTAs in an effort to force a contract extension or a trade. Now he will be in a Broncos uniform for at least 2019. This was a wise decision for Denver. Best, another good one. Patriots signed Julian Edelman to a 2-year extension. The New England Patriots signed a wide receiver, Julian Edelman, to a 2-year contract extension. While this doesn't necessarily ensure that Edelman will finish his career with the Patriots, it doesn't mean that one of Tom Brady's favorite targets will be around for the remainder of his career. This is important. It could help convince Brady to sign a new contract. While Brady probably only has a couple of years remaining in the NFL, New England should want to get him under contract before beyond the 2019 season. Doing so would ensure he finishes his Hall of Fame career with the Patriots and give the franchise time to identify and develop his eventual successor. Of course, knowing that Edelman could be around at least 2021 should also give the Patriots some comfort. Should Brady play until the end of Edelman's new deal? He'll be 44 at the end of that season. Rob Gronkowski's enjoying retirement, says NFL comeback rumors can be put to rest. He stated, rumors can be put to rest. Rob Gronkowski apparently has no regrets about retirement. The future Hall of Famer spoke to reporters Sunday and said any talks of him coming out of retirement could be put to rest. Gronkowski, 30, age 30, retired in March after 9 NFL seasons. He made the Pro Bowl 5 times and was a 4-time All-Pro, but dealt with a consistent range of injuries that only led him walking away. After playing all 16 games in each of his first 2 seasons, Gronkowski failed to do it again in his final 7. Despite of the injuries and Gronkowski burgeoning fame outside of football, there was a natural speculation that would return to football. Even agent Drew Rennenhouse said he would not be surprised if Gronk came out of retirement with a ton of money in the bank and a long future ahead of him. It's hard to blame Gronkowski if we never see him on the football field ever again. Bad things just keep happening for Muhammad Wilkerson. Former Jets Packer player Muhammad Wilkerson was arrested and charged with DWI. Defensive lineman Muhammad Wilkerson, who is currently a free agent after spending 8 years with the New York Jets and Green Bay Packers, was arrested on suspicion of driving while intoxicated. Yep, that's what it is. Not driving under the influence, it's driving with intoxicated. While intoxicated. He was arrested for suspension of driving while intoxicated in Washington Heights neighborhood in New York City. ABC 7 Eyewitness News reported that Wilkerson was pulled over around 3:30 a.m. Eastern Time early Saturday morning after police officers spotted him driving through a stop sign on 168th Street and Riversdale Drive. According to Rosenberg and Selena, the law enforcement sources told the New York Post that Wilkerson had a blood level alcohol level of 0.9 over the 0.8 legal limit. Per court papers, Wilkerson had watery and bloodshot eyes, had the odor of an alcoholic beverage on his breath, and had a flushed face. The defensive lineman reportedly told the officer that he had one shot and 2 beers. Wilkerson was charged in Manhattan criminal court on Saturday afternoon and released. The 30th overall pick of the 2011 draft spent 7 seasons with the Jets, amassing 405 tackles and 44.5 sacks. New York released Wilkerson in March 2018. The ex-Temple Ole had signed a 1-year deal with the Green Bay Packers. He played the first 3 weeks of the year before suffering a season-ending ankle injury. Wilkerson was named a 2013 and 2015 second all-team pro and made the 2015 Pro Bowl. Okay, we're going to take a break. I'll be right back to talk more about the NFL. You will listen to Tie Dance Podcast.
We will be right back. You will listen to Tie Dance Podcast on Tie Dance Radio.
If you want to listen to my podcasts all the time, go to Spotify or my website at tiebat.simple.com. That's tiebat.simple without an e.com. tiebat.simple.com.
Welcome back to my show. I want to start off now talking about the biggest question for each NFL team coming out of OTAs. With the summer officially on the doorstep, we have reached a point in the NFL offseason where not a lot is happening on the surface. The draft is the past. Free agency movement has downwindled the trickle. Early organized team activity OTAs and are wrapping up. And expect for some sporadic OTAs in June minicamps there won't be a torrent of action between now and training camp. While part of the offseason isn't going to bring a lot of breaking news, it's incredibly important for NFL franchises that they'll take what they've learned in the early offseason and start developing game plans for the camp. the preseason and the upcoming regular season. Naturally, there are several big questions that need to be answered. Are rookies ready to play? Are there glaring weaknesses on the roster that need to be addressed? Are there position battles that must be decided sooner than later? Every team has questions here. I examine each team's biggest questions coming out of OTA. Here's the first number one question. You might not like this question, but here it is. Arizona Cardinals, is Kyler Murray ready to be day one starter? The Arizona Cardinals dumped former fourth round Josh Rosen during the draft and scooped up Oklahoma's Kyler Murray with the number one overall pick. Murray seems to be the perfect fit for the new head coach, Kiff Kingsbury. High octane offense. But what if Murray isn't ready to start in week one? The likely alternatives is former Green Bay Packers backup Brett Hunt. Yikes, folks. Yes, yikes. Early impressions are that Murray is going to be good, and he drew comparisons during early OTAs to regain MVP Patrick Mahomes. I think you can say that, yeah, that's a good comparison. Running back David Johnson said, it's a high praise, but I think it's a good comparison. Kyler's got one heck of an arm, that's for sure. Of course, there's one big difference between signing the ball in OTAs and actually being prepared to lead the offense against true opposition. Arizona must determine if Murray can be the week one starter before training camp, or it needs to start working on a better backup plan. Now, Atlanta Falcons, what is the plan for the running back? The Atlanta Falcons parted with Tevin Coleman in free agency, which means they have to sort out their depth chart at running back. Devontae Freeman, who signed a 5-year, $41.2 million extension in 2017, should remain the starter. After him, the Falcons have to have it to Smith, Kendrell Barner, fifth-round rookie Quadre Olsen. One of them needs to emerge as a clear number two back in Atlanta's offense. The reason for this TOEFL, for one, Freeman is often as one of the most efficient when splitting time with another running back as he did with Coleman in the four seasons. Secondary, Freeman has an extensive injury history. He has started all 16 games, just one in his career, and missed 14 games in 2018 due to knee and groin injuries. Now, for the Baltimore Ravens, how quickly can Lamar Jackson absorb the new offense? The Baltimore Ravens have a new offensive coordinator in Greg Roman. It should go without saying that Roman will install his new offense in 2019, though that was initially clear to quarterback Lamar Jackson. With Jackson being clear centerpiece of Baltimore's offense, it's fair to wonder just how quickly he can absorb Roman's systems and learn to thrive in it. His ability to do so will largely determine Baltimore's offense success earlier in the regular season. Now for the Buffalo Bills. Who are Josh Allen's best weapons? As in case, the Buffalo Bills have their own second-year quarterback, who is expected to be the centerpiece of the offseason in their case. Is Josh Allen a dual-threat quarterback in his own right? The question for Buffalo is which players are going to emerge as Allen's best weapons in year two? The Bills added the likes of Cole Beasley and John Brown to the receiving corps and drafted running back Devin Singletary as their apparent to LeSean McCoy. What the Bills really need to identify is the number one receiver Allen can take advantage of. They also need to determine if McCoy's still the best option at running back or if it's already time to hand the proverbial keys over to someone else. For the Carolina Panthers, will Cam Newton be healthy for week one? Will Cam Newton's shoulder be strong enough for him to start the regular season? This is the biggest question coming out of OTAs and one that is going to linger throughout the offseason. Newton clearly wasn't himself in 2018. His shoulder was the problem. He didn't post a passer rating above 70 in his final three starts of the year, and the Panthers dropped the final six games with Newton under center. In January, Newton underwent shoulder surgery, which, while he should have time to heal before the start of the regular season, shoulder repairs can be tricky. If there's no guarantee, Newton will be 100% come week one. Chicago Bears, is there a reliable kicker on the roster? The Chicago Bears 2018 season came to crashing halt with Cody Parkley missed a 43-yard field goal attempt in the wildcard round. Chicago needs to find more reliable kicker to carry into the 2019 season. Chicago has currently Chris Blewett, Elliott Fry, Eddie Pinheiro on the roster and could bring all three into training camp. According to Patrick Finley of the Chicago Sun-Times, there's no guarantee, of course, that any of these there is an actual upgrade over Parkley. Worse yet, the Bears may not know if they have an upgrade until they're able to addition kickers in the pressure situations in this preseason. If the Bears' next kicker isn't already on the roster, they need to find one long before they return to the postseason. Cincinnati Bengals. Is Andy Dalton a fit for Zach Taylor's offense? As long as he remains healthy, Andy Dalton is going to be the Cincinnati Bengals' starting quarterback in 2019. He may even play well in new head coach Zach Taylor's offense, and even believes that Dalton is in store of a career year. The reality, though, is that Taylor inherited Dalton when he took over Cincinnati's job. He didn't handpick him. Now, this time for Taylor and the Bengals to determine if Dalton is still the quarterback of the future or is he simply to be a placeholder for 2019. Dalton has 2 years remaining on his contract, and Bud has no dead cap on his deal. This means he can be released in 2019 and know nothing if the Bengals don't believe Dalton can be the answer beyond this season. They can begin planning their pursuit of the different single caller. This could, of course, mean taking the season so Taylor can land a guy in 2020 draft. Cleveland Browns. Will Odell Beckham Jr. be ready to contribute? What kind of impact will Odell Beckham have on the Cleveland Browns offense in week one? How quickly will he make a difference? These are the questions that not even the Browns have answers to because Beckham has missed all about one voluntary OTA this offseason. The Browns are installing this new offense with Kitchens as their head coach and Todd Monken as an offensive coordinator. They're going to be leaning curve even for the players who were in Cleveland last season. Beckham is now behind everyone else that could carry over in the training camp and potentially even the regular season. Dallas Cowboys. Can the Cowboys depend on Ezekiel Elliott? The Dallas Cowboys know at this point that they can depend on running back Ezekiel Elliott on the field, but can they trust him to stay eligible to be on the field for the remainder of the offseason? This is a fair question. Considering the NFL is likely to investigate Elliott's recent with Las Vegas security guard, Elliott has a history of off-the-field issues, including a 6-game suspension for violating the NFL's personal conduct policy in 2017. While the latest may not result in a league discipline, the Cowboys will have to trust that Elliott will stay out of further trouble between now and training camp. If Dallas is unsure of Elliott's ability to do so, they need to start putting together a backup plan and should likely table extension talks until after the season. Okay, Denver Broncos. Is Joe Flacco a playoff quarterback or a placeholder? The Denver Broncos traded for a veteran quarterback in Joe Flacco earlier this offseason, hoping that a former Super Bowl MVP has enough left in his tank to turn Denver into a playoff contender. However, it's a fair wonder if he actually does. Flacco played just 9 games last season before losing his starting job to Lamar Jackson. He was serviceable in those games, but did not dominate, posting a season passer rating of just 84.2. If the Flacco's best days are truly behind him, the Denver needs to approach this season as if he is merely a placeholder at the position at the same time. The Broncos need to be preparing rookie Drew Lock to eventually take over the starting game. Detroit Lions. Is Kieron Johnson ready to rebound? The Detroit Lions added some offensive pieces during the offseason, including wideout Danny Amendola, rookie tight end TJ Hockenson. However, the player most worthy to watch in 2019 is running back Kieron Johnson. Johnson showed a ton of promise as a rookie, averaging 5.4 yards per carry before a sprained knee permanently ended his campaign. Before the injury, it looked like the Lions had finally found their franchise running back. The question is whether Johnson is fully recovered from the knee injury. He can be relied upon to be every down running back beginning week one. If so, Detroit should have this bell co back for 2019. If not, the Lions need to start forming the committee with likes of CJ Anderson, Zach Zenner, and Theo Reddick. Green Bay Packers. How is Aaron Rodgers meshing with Matt LaFleur's offense? It's safe to say Aaron Rodgers wasn't a fan of Mike McCarthy's offensive system. Well, he meshed better with a new head coach, Matt LaFleur. Rodgers' initial impression was certainly positive enough. However, Rodgers is having to learn a new offensive system really for the first time since he arrived in Green Bay. His ability to quickly embrace LaFleur's scheme and to embrace LaFleur's himself will determine whether or not the Packers truly will unleash a more dynamic offense in 2019. Houston Texans. Is offensive line improved enough? If the Houston Texans are going to take the next step and actually make a run in the postseason, they're going to have to keep quarterback Deshaun Watson healthy and upright. This means they desperately need to improve an offensive line that absorbed 62 sacks in 2019, most in the league. Houston drafted tackles Max Drapen, Titus Howard in the first two rounds in April. But are these additions enough to fix the blocking unit? That's what the Texans need to figure out sooner than later. If Sharping and Howard aren't ready to contribute right away, Houston needs to look at other options. Perhaps a free agent tackle like Brian Bell. Otherwise, the line may just unreasonable as it was a season ago. Unrivaled as a season ago. Which would be bad news for Watson. And we do not want him to tear his ACL again. Indianapolis Colts. How do new pieces fit into the defense? The Indianapolis Colts should be formula on offense as long as quarterback Andrew Luck remains healthy. If Indianapolis is going to be a legitimate title contender, though, it needs to see some improvements on the defensive side of the ball. The Colts were good defensively in 2018, but certainly not elite, especially against the pass. They allowed an average of 237.8 yards passing per game, 16th in the NFL. So the question becomes, how quickly can the new pieces like cornerback Rock Ya-Sin and pass rusher Justin Houston impact Indianapolis' pass defense? If it appears that there will be a slow transition, the Colts may need to adjust their offseason strategy and perhaps to take a look at available free agents like cornerback Maurice Claiborne. Jacksonville Jaguars, how can the offense play to Nick Foles' strengths? The Jacksonville Jaguars signed Nick Foles to be their new franchise quarterback earlier in the offseason. New offensive coordinator John DeFilippo knows how to get the most out of the Foles, thanks to his time as quarterback coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. The question is, how can the Jaguars utilize their personal what Foles does well? Foles was often at his best when throwing it to tight end Zach Ertz and a big-bodied receiver, Alshon Jeffrey. Jacksonville does not have a pass catcher of their eke on the roster. Though so, the Jaguars may have to look in a different direction. Can Jacksonville get bounce-back season out of Leonard Fournette in order to give Foles the benefit to play action? That's another fair question. The biggest goal, though, should be ensuring that Foles is a notable upgrade over the 2018 starter Blake Bortles. Kansas City Chiefs. How will the offense handle possible Tyreek Hill disappointment? Kansas City Chiefs receiver Tyreek Hill who is under investigation for a possible child abuse, may face disappointment from the NFL or the Chiefs. Kansas City and the league haven't acted yet, but there's a waiting for the investigation to conclude for now. From the X's and O's standpoint, the Chiefs need to determine how they will handle a temporary or permanent departure of Hill. The Chiefs added speedy second-rounder McCole Hardman in this year's draft, and they have a 2014 first-round pick, Sammy Watkins. Can either slide into the number one receiver role? Can the offensive coordinator Eric Berneri change the scheme to account for not having the true number one wide receiver? Will Kansas City need to bluster in receiving corps? The Chiefs need to have a plan in place because discipline could come down at a virtually any point before during the season. Los Angeles Chargers. how close is Hunter Henry to 100%? The Los Angeles Chargers were one of the league's most complete teams in 2018. Yet, they didn't even have a star tight end, Hunter Henry, due to a torn ACL. With Henry back in fold, LA should even be more formidable on offense. Assuming he can play at the same level he did not before the injury. There's a big difference between being ready to go into week one and being ready to be dominant at his position. Remember, while Henry was the top tight end in 2017, he still split time with Antonio Gates. If Henry isn't ready, a heavy workload, the Chargers need to plan accordingly. Whether that means prepping Virgil Green for a significant role or looking for outside help at the position. Los Angeles Rams. Just how healthy is Todd Gurley? Los Angeles Rams running back Todd Gurley suffered a knee injury last season and wasn't himself even upon returning. What's more worrisome is that he may never again be the same runner he was playing at his best. The Athletic reported back in March that Gurley is dealing with arthritis in his knee, which is problematic for anyone, let alone a lead running back. Los Angeles needs to determine just how healthy Gurley is and what his on-his-field future looks like. The Rams took precautions this offseason, re-signing Malcolm Brown and drafting Daryl Henderson, but the possibly exits that those two may have to be LA's plan if Gurley isn't back to 100%. Coach Sean McVay has a specialized plan laid out for Gurley that likely doesn't involve much on-field work in the offseason. That's probably beneficial to Gurley's health, but the Rams still need to figure out if he's going to be a workhorse back or merely part of the rotation in 2019. The Miami Dolphins. What does Miami want to accomplish? For the Miami Dolphins properly prepare for the coming season, they must figure out what their actual goals are for 2019. Will they give Josh Rosen a fair shot at becoming the franchise quarterback? Will they try to make an unexpected push for the postseason? Will they tank the season away in an effort to get the quarterback like two Tagovailoa in 2020 draft? Now this time for Miami and new head coach Brian Flores to find the answer. The problem is that if Rosen plays well enough to deliver a mid-first round draft pick, but not well enough to be a clear quarterback for the future, then the season will be even a bigger waste than if the Dolphins simply settle for the number one overall pick. Miami should have a good idea of Rosen's upside in his first year as a Dolphin, but the start of the training camp, that should help decide how they proceed from there. Minnesota Vikings. Can Dalvin Cook be an every down back? The Minnesota Vikings used a second-round pick on Dalvin Cook in the 2017 draft, hoping to get an every-down running back in return. While Cook has shown promise in both runner and receiver injuries, have largely derailed that plan. Cook did suffer a 2000 ACL injury as a rookie, appearing in just four games that season. He then missed another five games in 2018 due to injury. Latavius Murray helped the Minnesota ground game function in both seasons, but he's now with the New Orleans Saints. So Cook is ready to be a full-time running back for the Vikings. Can he stay healthy enough to do so? Minnesota needs to find the final answers while at the same time preparing for Plan B, possibly a third-round rookie, Alexander Mattson. The New England Patriots. Who will replace Rob Gronkowski at the biggest mismatch? Tight end Robert Gronkowski was a shadow of his former self in 2018, catching just 47 passes for 682 yards and 3 touchdowns. However, he was still a massive offensive mismatch that the New England Patriots are going to miss that he is retired. The biggest question at this point, whether the Patriots can find another mismatch who can dominate the defenses the way Gronkowski once did, first-round wide receiver N'Keal Harry has a potential to be the similar mismatch as an outside receiver, but he's a rookie who could take some time to develop. Patriots also added tight end Ben Watson, but he will be suspended for the first month of the season for violating of the league banned substance policy. Can the New England offense survive with a weapon without Gronkowski? Yes, because this is one of the most adaptable teams we've seen in the modern NFL. However, if the Patriots can identify the next biggest mismatch before the start of the regular season, they'll be one step ahead of the competition. New Orleans Saints. is the team over the last playoff heartbreak. For the second time in 2 years, the New Orleans Saints had their postseason end in a heartbreaking fashion. This is the time it was blown on a non-call against the Rams. As we've seen in the past, the Falcons' 28-3 Super Bowl collapse in a prime example. The hangover from a devastating postseason loss can loom large. So are the Saints ready to move on and focus on the coming season? Perhaps not, but maybe they can learn from it. The New York Giants. Will this be Eli Manning's team for 2019? You know, the New York Jets used the 6th overall pick on Duke quarterback Daniel Jones back in April. At the same point, Jones is going to take over Eli Manning, who is in the final year of his contract. What New York needs to determine if the changer will occur in 2019, possibly even by week one, there's an essentially 3 ways the Giants can handle Jones this season. They could allow him to compete for the job in training camp. They could groom him to take over, and they even when they're out of the playoff contention. Or they could plan to sit him the entire year while letting Eli Manning play out his final season. Each game plan will require a different approach, and deciding whether this will be Manning's team for most of the season is the first step. New York Jets. Is receiving corps strong enough to support Darnold? The New York Jets got a shiny new toy for quarterback Sam Darnold in the forming of a running back, Le'Veon Bell. He certainly helps the second-year single caller, but have the Jets done enough to upgrade the wideout position? New York brought in Jamison Crowder, Josh Bellamy, but they've done little less to upgrade the receiving corps. There doesn't appear to be a limited number one receiver on the roster, and the Jets will need someone like Robbie Anderson to step up and fill that role. Is it enough? That's the question, because when you've seen quarterbacks making a big year two jump seasonally, Jared Goff and Mitchell Trubisky in particular, is in large part because the teams have a good job of surrounding those quarterbacks with fresh talent. Of course, with Bell on the roster, New York will be at least able to lean on a run when it needs to. Oakland Raiders. Is Clelin Ferrell enough to boost the pass rush? The Oakland Raiders' pass rush was launchable in 2018 as the team's Oakland produced a mere 13 sacks, which isn't going to cut in the division with Patrick Mahomes and Phillip Rivers. However, Raiders did have a little to address the pass rush outside of drafting Clemson defensive end Clelin Ferrell, 4th overall. So will the addition of Ferrell be enough to boost Oakland's pass rush to level? That's the big question. Yes, the Raiders may get from likes in the Adrian Key and the rookie 4th round of Max Crosby. However, the responsibility of transforming the sack attack is going to rest largely on Ferrell's shoulders. If Ferrell doesn't appear to be enough, Oakland may want a chance on a free agent like Dion Jordan. Philadelphia. How healthy is Carson Wentz? We've heard he's healthy. We don't know for sure. Can Philadelphia's Eagles quarterback Carson Wentz return to Pro Bowl form? Some people, like ESPN's Lewis Riddick, seems to believe so. I don't know why he believes so. I think Wentz is still injured. A bigger question, though, is whether Wentz is going to be back to 100% to the time to the start of the regular season. Wentz currently wasn't the best in 2018, even before the back injury knocked him out later in the part of the season. Of course, the Eagles had Nick Foles on the roster to bail them out and push them into the playoffs. Foles, though, is no longer with the team. This means the Eagles are going to go for Wentz can carry them in 2019. Just how far is that? Philadelphia should have at least an initial idea coming out of OTAs. Pittsburgh Steelers, is the locker room drama a thing of the past? You remember the drama last year with Antonio Brown and Ben Roethlisberger. It's hard not to see how the locker room drama and the lack of chemistry helped derail the Pittsburgh Steelers' 2018 season. Running back Le'Veon Bell sat out the entire season, and quarterback Ben Roethlisberger and wideout Antonio Brown clearly had their issues. The question now is whether the departure of Bell and Brown have meant everything in Pittsburgh. According to the new number one wideout receiver, Juju Smith-Schuster, the answer is yes. Of course, just because everything is PG now doesn't mean the drama is a problem of the past. Pittsburgh needs to determine if there's any issue that could, again, present itself before the 2019 season. We all want to know this. San Francisco 49ers. Will Jimmy Garoppolo be ready for week one? The San Francisco 49ers lost starting quarterback Garoppolo in a torn ACL early last season, which played a trailing in the rest of their campaign. The good news is that it appears to be on track starting week one. There's a big difference between being on schedule and being 100%, though. Carson Wentz reminded the Eagles fans last season to must determine if Garoppolo really will be a fully headed for week one before the start of the preseason. If the 49ers have doubts, they compare last year's pleasant surprise Nick Mullins to start earlier in the season. If they don't, they can proceed a normal with Garoppolo getting the first team reps in the preseason. Seattle Seahawks. Who is going to be your number one wide receiver? Now that Doug Baldwin has retired, the Seattle Seahawks are left looking for a number one receiver. This is one of the biggest goals of the offseason, and it's search for the needs to be completed ahead of training camp. The most likely candidate would be Tyler Lockett, who racked up 965 receiving yards and 10 touchdowns in 2018. However, rookie second-round pick DK Metcalf has the number one receiver measurables and could claim it the role if he develops quickly enough. Regardless of the emergence as Seattle's number one wide receiver, someone needs to. The Seahawks may well field a run-based offense again in 2018, but Russell Wilson will need his go-to-go target in clutch situations. Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Is the defense improved enough? The drafting of linebacker Devin White should make Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense better at the second level. And defensive tackle Donovan Sue may prove to be an upgrade over Gerald McCoy. The big question is whether Tampa has enough to turn its defense from a laughingstock and into a functional unit. The Buccaneers were curious on the defense for most of 2018. They allowed an average of 29 points per game and second most in the league, and regularly squandered away games in which the offense can play more than well enough to win. If new defensive coordinator Todd Bowles, former coach of the Jets, does not believe he has the pieces in the place to field an improved unit in 2019, the Buccaneers may just want to start looking at the trade in free agent markets before the start of training camp. Tennessee Titans. Is Marcus Mariota back to 100%? Tennessee Titans quarterback Marcus Mariota was hampered by an elbow injury in much of the 2018, which forced the Titans to heavily not only but run the outside on backup quarterback Blake Gabbert at times. If the Titans' passing attack is going to improve in 2019, Mariota has to be healthy back at 100%. The early signs, at least, are promising. If Mariota is indeed back to 100%, then the next question becomes whether he can stay healthy for the regular season. And finally, folks, Washington Redskins. Is Haskins the best option for week one? The Washington Redskins used first-rounder former Ohio State single caller Dwayne Haskins. They're hoping he can emerge as a franchise single caller sooner than later. For now, though, they have to be wondering if Case Keenum is the team's best option for week one. The results in OTAs have been mixed. Redskins should feel like they have a realistic shot at the NFC East crown, as they're competitive in the division up until Alex Smith was lost for the season in November. If Haskins isn't their best option, they should start grooming him for backup duties and take over if when Washington falls out of the playoff contention. Okay, I'll be back. You will listen to Tyban's podcast on Tyban Radio.
We will be right back. You will listen to Tyban's podcast on Tyban Radio.
Welcome back. I'm here to talk about more about the NFL, and we have some breaking news I want to talk about. Colts QB Chad Kelly has suspended 2 games for violating the NFL conduct policy. Michael David Smith of Pro Football Talk has provided the update, noting that the punishment is related to a misdemeanor of guilty plea after Kelly was arrested on a trespassing charge in October. Noel Phillips and Ryan O'Haron of the Denver Post reported that the police said that the quarterback randomly entered a couple's home and was beaten by the homeowner with a vacuum cleaner tube. Kelly entered the home, sat down next to a woman on the couch, and was mumbling. According to the People, he was released by the Denver Broncos following his arrest. He signed with the Colts on May 20th. A 25-year-old Buffalo native was dismissed by Clemson's Tigers in April 2014 for a conduct detrimental to the team. After a missed stop at East Mississippi Community College, he finished his career with Ole Miss Rebels. Kelly suffered a torn ACL in November 2016 while placed on a roll, falling until the final pick of the 2017 NFL Draft when he was selected at the year Mr. Irrelevant by the Broncos. He did attempt a regular season pass during his time in Denver. Kelly said Wednesday he returned home to Buffalo and was living in his parents' basement before getting another chance from the Colts. I've had multiple shakeups, but you know what? One thing is going to keep on bouncing back, he told reporters. Whether it's yesterday, tomorrow, whether it's the future, my hope, but I'm going to hit it straight on. He'll compete with Jacoby Brissett and Philip Walker during training camp in the preseason to for the backup role behind Andrew Luck. Kelly and Walker could be battling for one spot in the 53-man roster, with Brissett being the favorite to serve as the top reserve. The more the story is, this man has made some bad choices in his life, and it is now affecting his NFL career. Okay, finishing up for the NFL today, I also want to talk about every NFL team's breakout stars so far from OTA. Starting with the Arizona Cardinals, quarterback Kyler Murray has looked good. Atlanta Falcons wide receiver Calvin Ridley has been their top. Baltimore Ravens' top has been safety Bennett Jackson. Buffalo Bills running back Devin Singletary has been their top. Carolina Panthers cornerback Dante Jackson has been their top. Chicago Bears Mitchell Trubisky has been their top. Cincinnati Bengals cornerback B.W. Webb has been their top. Cleveland Browns wide receiver Antonio Callaway, this is interesting. That's their top so far coming out of OTAs. Dallas Cowboys defensive tackle Trustin Hill. You know, Denver Broncos Noah Fant, which who I thought was going to go to be the Packers' new tight end. But Detroit Lions tight end T.J. Hoskins, who also I thought could be a Packer, is their top coming out of OTA. And this makes sense. Green Bay Packers Darnell Savage, which he's showing a lot of potential there. That's their top. Houston Texans cornerback Lonnie Johnson Jr., that's their top. Indianapolis Colts Devin Funches, the new wide receiver for the Colts, top. Jacksonville Jaguars Chris Conley, top. Kansas City Chiefs running back Damian Williams, who is good. Los Angeles Chargers tight end Sean Chokin, top. Los Angeles Rams tight end Gerald Everett, top. Miami Dolphins John Wilkes, top. Minnesota Vikings wide receiver Jordan Taylor, that's their top. New England Patriots wide receiver Keneal Harry, top. New Orleans Saints center Eric McCoy, that's their top. New York Giants inside linebacker Alec Ozaltri, top. New York Jets quarterback Sam Darnold, not a surprise, top. Oakland Raiders wide receiver Terrell Williams, not top. He was good with the Steelers. Philadelphia Eagles cornerback Avante Maddox, top. San Francisco 49ers cornerback Ahelio Witherspoon, top. Tampa Bay Buccaneers wide receiver or running back Ronald Jones, top. Tennessee Titans wide receiver Tamon Taylor, top. And Washington Redskins cornerback Jimmy Moreland, top. Okay, I want to talk about the Green Bay Packers rookie coach, Matt LaFleur. He has reportedly torn his Achilles. He tore his Achilles Wednesday playing basketball at Lambeau Field. He had surgery today. LaFleur will be coaching from the cart for the remainder of the offseason, Likely delegating on the field, instructing a practice to coordinators. Nathaniel Hackett for the offense will coach most of it. Mike Patine will coach the defense. And Sean Manginga will coach the special teams. All right, I'm going to get to the NBA. We'll be right back. You've been listening to Ty Bats Podcast.
If you want to listen to my podcasts all the time, go to Spotify or my website at tybat.simple.com. That's tybat.simple without an E.com. tybat.simple.com. Also, go like and subscribe and follow my buddy at Outdoor Nation TV on his Insta and YouTube.
About the NBA. Ja Morant will undergo a minor knee surgery ahead of the 2019 NBA draft. NBA draft prospect is reportedly set to undergo a minor knee surgery on Monday. According to ESPN's Andrew Winkowski, Morant will have a right knee scoped to remove a loose body. The procedure shouldn't have Morant out long, as he expected to be fully recovered in 3 to 4 weeks. Morant is widely expected to go number 2 overall to the Memphis Grizzlies in June's draft. The multi-talent point guard put up a massive numbers as a sophomore at Murray State last season, averaging 24.5 points, 10 assists, 5.7 rebounds per game, making him the first Division I player to average 20 points and 10 assists in a single season since the assists became an official stat in 1983 through 1984. Here's something funny, folks. Draymond Green and Drake had dinner together at the NBA Finals Game 1 argument. Golden State Warriors top forward Draymond Green had dinner with the Toronto Raptors superfan and superstar musician Drake on Friday night in Toronto, just one day after the exchange words following the Raptors' 118-109 win over the Warriors in Game 1 of the NBA Finals. According to NBA Sports Bay Area, a party that included Green, Drake, and Warriors reserve and Bonzo McKean dined in a private room at the Cactus Club Cafe. After Toronto beat Golden State to take a 1-0 series lead Thursday, Green and Drake could be seen jawing at each other, with Drake seemingly referring to Green as trash. Green was asked about the exchange after the fact, but he downplayed it. Murdoch noted that Green and Drake have been friends for the past 5 years. Drake had been a constant presence on the sideline at the Raptors' home games throughout the playoffs, and he has become a center of attention at times. His antics have included interacting with opposing players like Green and even rubbing the shoulders of Raptors head coach Nick Nurse. During the Eastern Conference Finals between the Raptors and the Milwaukee Bucks, Giannis Antetokounmpo, former European agent Gregorius Demarais, took an issue with Drake's actions. Also, a leaked spokesman said the NBA had to talk with Drake about his antics. Drake was a mysterious as after during Game 1, but seemingly did not bother Green too much. Bad news for the Clippers. Clippers have been fined $50,000 for Doc Rivers comparing Kawhi Leonard to Michael Jordan. The Los Angeles Clippers were fined $50,000 by the NBA after head coach Doc Rivers made a public comment Tuesday comparing Toronto Raptors superstar forward Kawhi Leonard to Michael Jordan. The Athletic reported Friday that the fine, which was levied under the league's anti-tampering rule, though comparing any current player to Michael Jordan, immediately sparked debate. Rivers' remarks generated additional attention because the Clippers are expected to make a serious push to sign Leonard. If he declines his player option for 2019-20, and he becomes an unrestricted free agent for the summer in early May, ESPN's Andrew Mikowski reported, it seemed like the Clips will be the only team with the 27-year-old Los Angeles area native would consider leaving the Raptors to join, even if he decided to accept meetings with other possible suitors in the offseason. The NBA has made a concerted effort to enforce tampering rules in recent years. Most notably, the Los Angeles Lakers were fined $500,000 in August for tampering with Oklahoma City Thunder forward Paul George in December. The league's office sent a memo to all 30 teams reminding the front offices about the guidelines and noted players' comments could also fall under the umbrella of tampering. Meanwhile, Leonard, in his typically low-key fashion, has shrugged them off questions about his future throughout the season. He has helped the Raptors score 118-109 victory over their Golden State Warriors in Game 1 of the 2019 NBA Finals on Thursday night. Okay, now to the MLB. We'll be right back. You've been listening to Ty Benz Podcasts. Okay, I'm now back to talk about the MLB. Jay Bruce has been traded the Mariners to the Phillies, an unknown package unknown return. June 1st, that the Phillies were nearing a deal to land Bruce, expected to be rushing through within 24 hours. The sides have talked about Bruce, Seattle willing to deal him, and Philadelphia needs a bench bat. No trade agreed to, however, has been reported. The Athletics, Kevin Gisolo followed up Panichel's report later in June 1st, knowing that the trade was nearly completion and pending a medical review. Once completed, the Mariners will net cash to even receive a minor league return. The Phillies' interest in outfielder comes after all-star fielder Odubel Herrera was arrested earlier this week on a simple assault charge associated with domestic violence against his girlfriend. He has been placed on administrative leave by the league. However, according to the Athletics, Matt Gow, the team's interest in Bruce specifically dates back to the seasons with the New York Mets. Bruce was a first-round draft pick by the Cincinnati Reds in 2005. 32-year-old played for the Reds for 2008 until he was traded to the Mets in August 2016. He has a two-time All-Star and three-time Silver Slugger awards. This season, he is first in Seattle. Bruce has appeared in 47 games and is batting .212 with 14 home runs. Bruce has primarily played the right field for Seattle. Philly's right field is occupied by MVP Bryce Harper, which most likely means Bruce will enter the outfield rotation alongside Andrew McCutchen, Scott Kingery, and Nick Williams. The Rangers, Joe Gallo has been placed on the injured reserve with a oblique injury. Daniel Shields has been recalled. The Texas Rangers placed outfielder Joey on a 10-day DL with a left oblique strain, the team announced Sunday. Texans called up Daniel Shields' attack. Take Gallo's place on the active roster. The Rangers will start Danny Santana in center field for Sunday's game against the Kansas City Royals. The injury disturbs that when what has been an excellent 2019 season for Gallo. Through 50 games, he's slugging .653 with 17 home runs at 41 RBIs, according to Fangraphs. His 2.9 WAR total is already a career high and ranks fourth among all position players. At 29 and 27, the Rangers are 8.5 games back of the Houston Astros in the American League West. Texas occupies the final wild card spot in the AL with one game separating the team from Oakland Athletics, Boston Red Sox, and Cleveland Indians. Removing Gallo from this lineup for an extended stretch makes holding on to the wild card lead difficult for the Rangers. Now, teams are leering Craig Kimbrel and Dallas Keuchel will be ready in July. Kimbrel and Keuchel have been unsigned for part of this season in a pair of the strangest free agency gone wrong stories in recent memory. Both entered the winter with expectations of huge contracts, only to find a market that dragged into the regular season. Both will become fully unrestricted free agents June 3rd. They previously had a draft pick compensation tied for their signings as a result of declining qualifying offers. Keuchel, 31, won the 2015 AL Cy Young Award. Is a two-time All-Star. He's also avoided major injuries throughout his career and posted a 12-11 record with a 3.74 ERA and a 1.31 walks, hits, innings pitched in 2018. In an era where strikeout-heavy pitchers are desired on his defense, Keuchel has a career K9 average of 7.2, which ranks him well below most elite aces. Kimbrel is 31 and is statistically one of the greatest closers in MLB history. He has saved 337 games and has blown only 34 in his 9-year career. He's already 14th on the all-time career saves list. He has 90.7 save percentages, better than Mariano Rivera, who has 89.1. The continued free agency of Kimbrel largely comes down to him to give a closer long-term contract. Kimbrel also showed some slight slippage during his tenure with Boston Red Sox in stats, despite making an all-star team in each of those three seasons. The Mariners are trying to trade everyone, including Edwin Encarnacion. The Seattle Mariners are trying to trade everyone as the July 31st non-waiver trade deadline approaches. A rival source told MLB Network's John Heyman, among the players reportedly on the block are designated hitter Edwin Encarnacion, pitcher Mike Leake, second baseman D. Gordon, first baseman Ron Healy, and infielder Tim Beckham. This comes on the same day as Seattle is nearing a deal to send three-time All-Star Jay Bruce to Philadelphia Phillies, though this deal is not legitimate, but now it is official, folks. As their postseason drought was extended to 17 seasons with an 89-73 performance in 2018, the Mariners spent the offseason wheeling and dealing while appearing to commit to a rebuild. They traded away veterans Robinson Cano, Edwin Diaz, James Paxton, Mike Zuno, Gene Segura, Carlos Santana, while bringing in pieces of the future over in order to complete some of the transactions. They also had to absorb high-paid players like Bruce and Edward Canasio. As a result, the team figures to be one of the most active teams in the summer. Seattle used a record-setting home run streak to jump to a 13-2 start this season. However, the club has gone just 12-33, dropping to the last place in the American League West, 14 games out of first. With that, trading season has apparently begun. It should come as not a surprise what the Mariners are open at business. Back in February, Ryan Divish, the Seattle Times, wrote the club was looking to trade Edwin Encarnacion after acquiring him during the offseason. The veteran players are likely aware that they could be dealt at any moment. Seattle's Larry Stone, general manager, Jerry Depot, made it clear to his players that the organization is moving toward a younger roster. With the contender calendar flipping to June, there are less than 2 months until the non-waiver trade deadline. With the Mariners' recent struggles, the CEO appear to be ready to continue rebuilding as teams around the league look to bolster their rosters for a playoff push. MLB's record sets a record for most home runs in a single month with 1,120 home runs. Just with 1,120 home runs in May. Pitchers beware. Home run balls are flying out of the stadiums at a record rate in Major League Baseball this season. There are more long balls during May than a month in league history. The Toronto Blue Jays slugger, Vladimir Guerrero Jr., drove the home run during Friday's game against the Colorado Rockies to set the record to 1,120. The previous record was short-lived after it was set in August 2017. Pittsburgh's Josh Bell, Houston's Alex Bregman, and Cincinnati's Derek Dietrich did more to set the record than any other individual, hitting the league's best 12 home runs each. In the particular stood out of their three-homer performance against Pittsburgh Pirates in Tuesday's win. According to Thomas Skelp of the Sporting News, hitters are averaging a 1.34 home runs per game this season, which is well ahead of the 1.26 per game record in 2017 campaign. What's more, Minnesota Twins came a mark to two home runs short of the 1987 Baltimore Orioles and 1999 Seattle Mariners record with 58 home runs in a single month. Long bars are a record place at nothing new for the young 2019 campaign. MLB.com has noticed hitters also set a record of home runs in April during the first month of the season. Don't be surprised if the records continue to fall as weather heats up in the summer. This is the very thing I want to talk about. This is a very sad thing I want to talk about. The Cubs' Elmore Jr. wants more MLB fan protection after a foul ball he hit a girl. Chicago Cubs outfielder called for the Major League Baseball to offer more protection for fans after a young girl was hit by his line drive foul ball during Wednesday's game against the Houston Astros. "I hope this never happens again," he said. "So whatever the league has to do to make that happen, I don't think any kind that goes on to a baseball game with their parents or loved one should worry about out unhealthy. I don't think that should ever cross their mind. So whatever the league needs to do, that should be in place." The Astros released a statement updating the fans on the status girl. The young girl that the young fan that was struck by the foul ball during tonight's game was taken to the hospital. We are not able to disclose any further details at this time. The Astros sent our thoughts and prayers to the entire family. Almora was immediately emotional after it was clear his line drive hit the girl in the stands. He dropped to his knee and went to the security guard near where he was sitting to receive an update. As Josh Freeman of WBN News shared, the security guard comforted Almora in the aftermath. Almora said he didn't move from the bed in his hotel in the wake of the incident. Almora wasn't only the one to call changes after the play teammates Chris Bryant, Jason Hayward also extended the protective netting around the crowd. Almora said he didn't move from the bed in his hotel room in the wake of the incident. To finish up with today's show, that's all I wanted to talk about for today. Thank you for listening to today's show. I will be back Tuesday, June 4th, and only talk about MLB stuff that day. Tuesday is MLB Talk Day. This is Ty Band signing off. Have a good night, everybody.
If you want to listen to my podcasts all the time, go to Spotify or my website at tybat.simple.com. That's tybat.simple without an e.com. tybat.simple.com. Also, go like and subscribe and follow my buddy at Outdoor Nation TV on his Insta and YouTube.